Golf Smarter number 657 is brought to you by Tommy John, where you can save 20% off your first order by going to TommyJohn.com/golfsmarter. You've got to lift yourself up to bring your scores down with our golf sensei, Jamie Zimron.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jamie.
Thank you.
I just want to let the audience know that we're just laughing because we said hello. It has nothing to do with the 20 minutes we spent on the phone together.
It's always wonderful to talk to you and, of course, to your incredible audience that you have attracted.
It's taken a while, but there are people out there listening, and I'm really incredibly grateful for the opportunity because I have so much fun doing this.
I certainly have fun talking with you, and I'm excited to be back. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming back. And let's get started here, because all this past week, we've been promoting on Golf Smarter that this week's winner of our weekly drawing gets to have an online lesson with you.
Yay. That is going to be so much fun. I love doing those, and I can't wait.
So let's talk about what it is that they need to do, the winner needs to do, and what will happen. What are you offering here?
Well, I'm offering a free online Skype lesson or WhatsApp, however we can see each other. And so the person will contact me. We'll have a talk on the phone to find out about them and their game and some of their golf challenges and goals. And then they will send me a video or a few videos of themselves swinging so I can look at that. And then we'll make a time for our lesson. And during our lesson, I'll give them some analysis, a swing analysis that I've seen, and some ideas based on our conversation, and then we'll go from there. Because we'll be on Skype or, you know, some way that we can see each other, they can be making swings. I can show them the kinds of exercises that I would recommend or drills, and we'll make a plan for their golf improvement.
And this is going to be a great opportunity for somebody to do this for free, but you do this with people all over the world, correct?
Absolutely. That's the wonders of technology and being able to see each other. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, when we started having these conversations, that was not possible.
Exactly, and that was always pretty frustrating. But now that you can easily send a video of a swing, we can look at each other, we can give drills and exercises, all these kinds of things, it's entirely doable,
right,
to do golf lessons anywhere and to have them be really meaningful. I mean, we need the visual, face it. You've got to see what's going on besides hear what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, now we have these incredible cameras built into our telephones that are in our pockets that have super high quality video and very slow motion, like 240 frames a second, which is pretty slow. So it allows a teacher to really get a good sense of what your swing looks like.
Well, exactly. And people are always excited to see a video of their swing, say, during a lesson.
Wow. Is excited the right word, Jamie?
Well,
some people are freaked out. I've never seen that.
No. I want to, but I don't want to see it.
Exactly.
And, you know, unfortunately, people, when they take golf lessons, have this very negative mindset. I mean, they come with the question of what am I doing wrong? Instead of looking at what am I doing, and maybe they're doing some things quote unquote wrong, maybe they're definitely doing a lot of things right because they are hitting the ball and playing golf and, you know, depending where their scores are, their handicaps. So they're doing a lot of things right to even hit the ball, right? But so we get to look at this without judgment, but just to see what is and what maybe I always look at what could be better. And my approach is, what are you doing right? What could you be doing more right? And by doing more what's right and understanding why that's right, then the sort of bad stuff or what they're doing quote unquote wrong just disappears from disuse. So instead of trying to correct what's wrong and, you know, keep trying to not do what's wrong, which is a kind of negative approach, and we all know that kind of little story of don't think of a blue elephant. And so all you can think of is a blue elephant because we said don't. That just doesn't work. So again, my approach is let's see what you're doing. Let's see what could be better. let's see how we could make some changes and practice that, drill that in so that it gets into your body, what golfers like to call their muscle memory. And then you start doing what's right and what's working better. And as you practice and do that repeatedly, that's what starts happening. Then you start to find that you're having the tempo, the consistency, the balance, the accuracy, the distance, all the things that you're looking for in your golf game, and particularly the consistency. I actually find that golfers' biggest complaint is not getting more distance, or biggest desire is not to get more distance. It's actually to get more consistent, because mm-hmm. they never know what's going to come out, what's going to happen. And then that impacts their confidence, that impacts their ability to avoid blow up holes and disaster and all that stuff. And when they start feeling they've got more control, more input, and they can do that on a consistent basis, boy, that really changes things. And along with that, accuracy and consistency come, because it turns out sort of doing the quote-unquote more right things in a golf swing produce that.
Yeah.
But having that consistency is a really great thing, and feeling like you have more control and more confidence is tremendous.
Yeah, I frequently get into conversations with people, and I tell them I do a golf podcast, and they're like, oh, are you a good golfer? No, nobody's a good golfer. Any golfer who tells you they're good is lying. Mm-hmm. and every other golfer is saying, no, I want to be better. And you can watch on a Sunday and a guy will shoot a 59 and complain about a putt that he missed. You know, it's just, there's always one more stroke that we can get. And when I ask
there is research about why we as humans tend to have this negative proclivity and to focus on the one thing that's wrong rather than all the great, good things.
Oh, it's not just golf?
And it's not just golf, and there's brain science that will document this. I'll tell you a really kind of cute little story is that I speak to a lot of CEO groups and executives. And in the beginning, people introduce themselves, and they talk about their company and their position and kind of how many mills they make, right? It's by mills, 10 oh, mills, 40 mills, whatever, right?
Yeah,
and then,
right.
So after all those great introductions, then I ask who's a golfer? Is anybody a golfer? I don't ask who plays golf. I ask, is anybody a golfer? And you should see, they can barely get their hand half up.
Wow.
And we always laugh and joke. It's like, oh yeah, I can be the CEO of this company and make all these mills, but golf? I can hardly claim the title of golfer.
I once had a PGA Tour caddy was on the show, and he said, if you're having fun, you're a good golfer.
Beautiful.
Like, good for you. Thank you very much. Yeah, don't worry about the score. But what I was going to say is that when I ask people, you play golf and whatnot, and they say, oh, I just want to be more consistent. I said, well, what are your scores? And he says, I always shoot between 90 and 95. I said, then you're a very consistent golfer. What's the problem?
Exactly.
He said, well, I want lower scores. I said, practice. I mean, work on your short game and putting. The scores will go down, I promise. Stop beating
Absolutely.
Yourself up. The scores will go down, I promise. Stop trying
like to
be a hero. Your scores will go down, I promise.
I'm telling you, I'd like to meet these people you meet. I always shoot between whatever, 90, 95. What I get is, oh, yeah, I can shoot 85, but you know what? I could shoot 105.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's what I get more often.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that any given day, you're going to get a 10-stroke swing one way or the
mm-hmm.
other.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you're shooting mid handicap type thing, and I'm sure when you're on the lower end, your swings may be a 5-stroke swing either direction, just because you can stop beating yourself up when you're missing when you 3-putt or you miss a chip. You don't, when you're at that level, you're just going, okay, that happened. I'm going to move on and go to the next thing.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about today. How you do that.
Good segue,
that.
Huh?
Yeah, good segue. But just speaking of, I think there were two 59s this past weekend on the web.com tour and the European tour.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was the web.com. One of them, the guy shot 79 the day before, and then he went and shot 59.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. He obviously made the cut if he was playing on the weekend.
Yeah, well, the 59 sure brought him back. But can you imagine shooting 79, 59?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I thought that was really remarkable. And that's in a tour event. My goodness. That's just an incredible swing.
Well, but, I can easily see shooting a 97 and a 77. I could do that.
You could do that.
I don't want to. I haven't in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't spend 30 seconds or less praising Tiger and congratulating him and then complaining about who he is too. But I mean,
we've all got issues, but
truly remarkable.
On the other hand, yeah, I mean, his achievements in golf all along have just been remarkable. Yeah. And then the comeback. And you know what's impressed me almost more than the fact that he did play so great and he did win again, which is just in and of itself phenomenal. But even more impressive to me is that the quote-unquote Tiger effect has already completely revived and taken hold.
Mm.
I mean, he managed to kind of unsettle the greatest players in the world, namely Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy. So, I happen to love both those guys.
Well,
those guys
grew up hearing about the Tiger effect, but they've never, even though they're on the tour, they've never really experienced it until it was in their face.
Well, yeah, and that part could kick back in so fast. And it didn't kick back in, well, partly because he's Tiger, right? But because Tiger actually played in that Tiger-esque fashion, the putts he made, what he did over the weekend really was quite phenomenal on the golf course, the shots he made, the putts he made, the scores he made. And that's what did it. I mean, Tiger actually put that Tiger effect into effect, and you could see that working. Now, that to me was almost more impressive than the fact that he actually won.
What I find mind-boggling on this is, yes, he had a great season, thank you, after we witnessed so many years of just, maybe he can put three rounds together on a weekend, but he can't do four. That it happened as he built up the season, he didn't have a win. He waited till pretty much the last event of the year that were the top 30 golfers in the world. It wasn't just a random event. He was playing against the best, and he intimidated them.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And the carryover to next season. And now with our next season, where we have a different format with the four majors and four consecutive months, great move. USGA, PGA, congratulations. That was a great move.
Agreed.
Was it a fluke event that he won this one, or is it the real deal? And he could be dominant next year.
We
could speculate all we want because we've been speculating for years that he'll never even win again. So who knows?
Well, I already saw a headline that said Tiger is the favorite for the Masters next year. So, everybody likes to do that.
That came out of Vegas, I'm sure.
Yeah, but there's already been a headline. I think, actually, we're going to get a chance to see real fast, which is this weekend at the Ryder Cup, just how Tiger's playing, how the Tiger effect is playing out. So we're gonna know pretty quickly and be able to see. And I think all of us are rooting for him to continue to be, to play so well.
And when you say all of us, when you say all of us, it doesn't just include the fans. It includes every person who's associated one way or another with the golf industry. Is rooting for him, from the networks on down to the corporate sponsors, because there's a Tiger effect off the course that is obvious and has been for a couple decades now. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll start building golf courses again if he gets so people will start getting interested. He is one of the most charismatic characters that's ever come across a golf course.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely have my issues with him. And at the same time, there's no denying that he is epic. He's epic in his talents. He's epic in his fall from grace. And he's now epic in his revival.
And I highly advise everybody, if this topic interests you at all, to read the book Tiger Woods. And if you're slightly interested in this topic, read the book. It's such a compelling book. It's so well done. And I even though Tiger wasn't involved, the research they did made it feel like he was right there with them the whole way. Spectacular book.
Well, the interesting thing is that he's not making headlines just on the sports pages. I mean, this was on the front page and of every news organization, news outlet. So, in that sense, we get to have our sport, golf, really out there. And at the same time, it's just kind of transcends any particular sport.
Right, right.
But, you know, luckily for us, it's in our sport, so we like that.
We like that a lot. We mm-hmm. do. Hey, listen, we take a short break here and to talk about something that, I don't think I want to include you in. So why don't you just hang on a second and we'll be back.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Hey, listen. I don't want Jamie to hear this. This is just between us. But I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Imagine yourself on the 18th tee. You're in a tight match with your group. You step up to the ball. You're getting ready to hit. You feel them all watching you very closely because this is a big shot. You're over the ball and you reach down and grab your butt and straighten out your underwear. Really? Is that what you want your friends to see when you're getting ready for the biggest shot of the round? Would you be proud of the underwear choice you made that day if the golfers behind you saw what you just did? Well, if the answer is no, then it's time to try Tommy John, the revolutionary clothing brand that's redefining comfort. Tommy John's men's and women's underwear support a no-wedgie guarantee, comfortable, stay-put waistbands, and a range of fabrics that are luxuriously soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable, and designed to move with you, not against you, on the golf course and off. Tommy John is so confident in their underwear that if you don't love your first pair, you can get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. It must be why Golf Digest rated Tommy John the best underwear in golf for 2 years in a row. Yeah, I know Golf Digest tests a lot of products, but did you know they tested underwear? Well, they did, and Tommy John came out on top. Try Tommy John's 360 Sport Fabric for the course and their best-selling Second Skin for the 19th hole. Before you spend another dime on cheap, heat-trapping, multi-pack underwear, remember, there's a better way to take care of your goods. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Go to TommyJohn.com/golfsmarter now and save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/golfsmarter for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/golfsmarter. All right. Thank you, Jamie, for waiting as I talk behind your back. That was very kind of you.
I trust you.
Well, sorry. You know, men's underwear is not something I want to talk to you about. So, but they have women's underwear too. Okay, so let's you know, doing these online lessons that we were talking about and what somebody's going to win is so awesome for teachers to be able to do, but for us to be able to learn. My question about it is that when I've taken lessons, there have been times where the teacher will grab a hold of my hands or my shoulders or stand behind me to, you know, is that lack of physical contact by doing online lessons a huge barrier to progress, or can you get past that?
Well, I like to believe we can get past that. I mean, there is honestly no real substitute for actual face-to-face and hands-on kind of thing, particularly if you happen to be a kinesthetic learner, one who likes to feel and, you know, have the literally hands-on thing. But at the same time, because we can see each other, and you know me, I can say this, right? I'm Jewish, and so I'm very, I use gestures a lot.
use your hands to talk.
And I'm a complete kinesthetic sort of person. So, you know, because I am so kinesthetic and hands-on, it's almost like you can almost put hands on through Skype or okay. You know, however.
Good.
Yeah, so it's possible.
I know. Do me a quick favor, and I know this by heart, but share with us your list. Share your resume with us about all your, I hate to say these words, your accomplishments. I don't want you to brag about this. I'm just saying, like, where'd you come from that you have such a vast scope of experience and expertise that you can bring to the golf tee?
Well, thank you for asking that. You know, I'm glad you asked that question. No. Well, I did start playing golf when I was 7 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I was shooting in the 80s within a couple of years and won the state golf championship right away when I was barely 13, which was at a time when we didn't have so many great junior programs or golfers. And I won the state championship quite a few times. I was ranked in the top 10 nationally as a junior with such luminaries as Amy Alcott, Hollis Stacey, quite a few people. Nancy Lopez was coming right up. And then I actually didn't play golf in college at Stanford because I didn't have a golf scholarship. It was just right before Title IX. At that point, I started training in Aikido, martial arts, and I opened my own Aikido school and started teaching when I was 25 in San Francisco. At the same time, I started studying body work, somatic, what we call somatic work, and I did my master's degree in clinical psychology, became a state-licensed California marriage family therapist. So I had a kind of body-oriented psychotherapy practice and ran my Aikido school for about 20 years. I helped introduce Aikido to the Soviet Union in the days of Glasnost in 1987 to 91. Then I started teaching Aikido and somatic and healing work and peacemaking work in the Middle East since the early 90s and spent several years living in Israel. What else? I returned to the LPGA as a teaching professional in the late 90s. And then I created Kiai Golf, which is a very holistic blend of Aikido, universal martial arts, mastery, peak performance principles with golf. And of course, went through the entire LPGA training program, which is actually very, very amazing. And made it to Class A teaching professional. And then I started to create not only Kiai Golf, but the Kiai Way, which is peak performance trainings. And I do a lot of corporate speaking. I relate these principles to leadership presence, which we're all leading ourselves, but leadership presence in the business world, stress management, conflict management. And so those are all the things I do. I was very happy this year. I was just awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award. And a couple years ago when I was awarded the, it's called the Award of Excellence from the National Women's Martial Arts Federation.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. And I was a co-founder of the Middle East Aikido Project, the Association of Women Martial Arts Instructors. Aikido in Ethiopia. I've been, had a hand in that effort, which is really developing now. So, you know, many things.
Many things. And I know you just kind of like ho-hummed it, but Stanford was not your only education. You didn't stop at bachelor's, right?
No, I did my master's in clinical psychology, and actually I graduated from Stanford Phi Beta Kappa. So I always say, I kind of have a scholastic mind, which is nice, but I could never be a professor because I'm such a physical person. But then again, I couldn't kind of only be a jock. I farmed in Israel. I kind of couldn't do only the physical thing or only the mental scholastic thing. And that's because I'm most interested in the integration, the intersection of all that, and how we can take principles, philosophies into our actual living experience. And that's a very physical, somatic thing. And it turns out that no matter what we're doing, and hitting a golf ball, for example, you know, we are an all at once, simultaneously in the moment, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual being that has to swing a golf club, hit it, and we are interested in results. So I'm very much interested in, you know, how well I do, how well I feel, getting results. And I think what we're all interested in is, does whatever it is work? It's not enough to just meditate or to just kind of whatever, feel good or have a great idea, but it doesn't really integrate into our living.
Okay, so how does that make us a better golfer? Now that we have that,
you asked.
Yeah, I did, and I appreciate you sharing and being honest about it, because I know how humble you can be, and so to kind of drag it out of you is fun. Thank you for doing that.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. So let's talk about achieving lower scores beyond just improving your swing mechanics. You know, that you're going to help someone with their swing mechanics, and you help a lot of people with their swing mechanics by giving lessons online and face-to-face. But there's more to it than just being able to hit a ball, isn't there?
Right. Yeah.
To lower scores, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to address everything. Unfortunately, most people spend most of their time in the physical realm, which would be their technique and their equipment. And people are spending more time, too, on the physical fitness, which I think is terrific. So that's the physical element. Some people are addressing the mental game more and maybe going to a sports psychologist or doing some hypnotherapy or something. I think that's terrific to spend more time on that. I think we aren't spending enough time understanding our emotional game, but that's an element. And ultimately, we need to kind of spend time on all those. And then we need to know how to integrate that so that we're in charge of all those parts of ourselves. And because that's what's happening when we're standing over the golf ball. Now, let me kind of put that in make it a little more clear. The first question I ask any of my students is, what makes your golf ball go? And they kind of look at me like, huh, that's a simple question. I go, no, this is a Stanford Phi Beta Kappa question. You know? This is important. This is big stuff. What makes your golf ball go? So most people say, I mean, you know, I hit it. There's force. There's momentum. There's the swing. There's the contact of the ball, of the club on the ball. Then people get around to there's force. There's energy. Now we're getting closer. And when I ask them, well, where does that energy come from?
My hand is up. I'm I think I know the answer. Ms. Zimron, I think I know the answer.
What's the answer, Fred?
Me?
That's right. We make the golf ball go. You make the golf ball go. You are A plus. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. You're getting a 4.5.
That's because I brought you an apple today.
Great average from Stanford. That was great. So, you know, you make the golf ball go. I make the golf ball go. But now, Fred, here's the next question. Who are you? Who am I?
And now I'm hiding in the corner. Follow-up questions are not allowed from you.
Yes,
only me. I get to do the follow-up questions. Who am I? Who am I on the golf course? Who am I?
Who are you?
What does that mean?
If you make your golf ball go, then you need to know who you are. Now, I mean, actually, I even asked the CEOs this question, and they're all like, stumped. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, what makes your business run? What makes your relationship work? All these things. So I'm going to give you an answer, and it's not an existential, deep, philosophical, theological conversation. It's going to be very practical. So I'm going to tell you who I think you are and I am. Ready?
Go.
Short sentence.
Yep.
I am life energy in a body. I am life energy in a body.
Okay.
And what that means is, you know, we all get
that was
born.
My next question. What's that mean?
What does it mean? Okay. So it's really pretty simple. We get born, we get this body. That's sort of the distinguishing characteristic of life on the planet. We have a body, and then we breathe, right? And when we breathe, this body starts working, this mind starts thinking, these emotions start feeling, our spirit is activated. And that's what we call, or what they in the East call chi, or ki, or kundalini, or prana. They have words for this thing that we roughly translate in English as life energy. And life energy is this thing that's in our body, and I call it an animating life force. It's something that makes us work. Now, we don't know where it comes from, and we don't know where it goes when it leaves the body at the end. But while we are alive, it's in our body, and it's this thing that activates us. It animates us. It animates our psychology and our physical self, our emotions, and it's at once both kind of mysterious, and on the other hand, it's very palpable. You can feel it. You know, you breathe, you can feel your heart pumping, you can kind of get a sense of the blood flowing through your body. And we definitely know that we are, that all our faculties of mind, body, emotion, spirit, which are how we experience and express this life energy, they're happening because we're alive, right? So that's what life energy is. And again, I mean, if anybody does Tai Chi or has heard of it, Chi, Ki is the Japanese phonetics for it, same word, life energy. So we have this life energy in our body. And to understand how powerful our life energy is, when you stand over a golf ball and you address it, from address to the top of your backswing back to the ball at impact, do you know how long that takes on a clock?
No.
How much time?
It's okay. Yeah, less than a second, isn't it? Maybe
it's
two.
Well, tour tempo has been measured. I'm going to call it a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, 0.93 one hundredths, 1.7. Okay,
John Novosel.
We'll call it a second.
Tour tempo, John Novosel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that. Yeah.
The
tour tempo guys.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Tour tempo. So, address the golf ball, top of your backswing, back to the golf ball at impact. Takes roughly a second on a clock. A slow swing is 1.2, 1.3, 0.4 seconds. That's already getting kind of slow. But anyway, so we'll call it a second. That's not very long. And we know that the face of the club is going 0 miles per hour at address. In 1 second, how fast is the club head going? Say you have a driver when it makes impact.
Anywhere from the low 80s to the high 120s.
Exactly. So that's amazing. Faster and even, twice as fast as cars on a freeway in 1 second. And where does that energy come from?
Me.
It comes from you and me. It comes from inside our body. And if we coil it up properly and come back and deliver it properly in proper sequence and using our lower body and having some relaxation along with some strength in the base and all that stuff, wham, that's amazing. That's how much energy we have in our bodies. And there, I forget exactly how many thoughts they tell us that we're having in a minute or in a second, how many emotions, how many body parts are moving. So we have to coordinate all of that and deliver it in this 1 degree of a 360 arc in a matter of, in a moment of that 1 second, a split second, and deliver it with the club face square to go where we want it to go with full power and accuracy. That's why golf's kind of so hard.
Kinda.
It's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's also lets us know that, it's really about us and how we use our body, mind, emotions, and our energy, and are able to deliver it into that little white ball. People will say, "Ah, that stupid little white ball. What's anybody chasing it around for?" They don't understand just how powerful that little white ball is and how much it demands our unified motion and our ability to focus, to deliver into that one that, we have just about the tiniest ball in sports, maybe a ping pong ball, but in the biggest playing field in sports to this relatively tiniest target in sports. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. It demands our attention, it demands our ire, it demands...
Yes.
oh my gosh. That's just a great open-ended question. That little white ball demands blank. Fill in the blank.
Well, it's an amazing focal point, an amazing teacher, an amazing
look for that on Twitter.
System.
Hashtag golf smarter. Hashtag golf smarter. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, bottom line is when you're watching your golf ball on any single shot you hit, you're watching it fly. The good and bad news is that you're looking at yourself. You're looking at what you did, how you shaped and formed and delivered your energy from inside your body, mind, emotions into that little white ball, shaped it, and then that's creating the flight of the ball. So you're pretty much looking at your energy flying out there. That could be bad news. The good news is, we have lots of input into that. And so when we start looking at ourselves, what did we do to produce that ball flight to get our energy into that ball? Or if it's a putt, how did we roll that ball to the hole? That all has to do with how we managed ourselves and then put our energy into that, that contact. So the ball does what it does. And we're just looking at ourselves out there, but that should be empowering. That means that we have a lot of input. We have more control than we ever thought we had. And so now we start looking into that, and how we manage our energy. So what I want to say about energy is that it's got some properties. And one of the most fascinating and important is that it's got, it's electromagnetic in nature. And that means that it has measurable electromagnetic frequency. And what do I mean by that? You've heard of the power of positive thinking, right? We
of
all
course.
Have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's another great question for you. What's the power in positive thinking?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first thing I go to is how much better you play when you're playing with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so now we're going to talk about that. Great answer. Thank you. So here's the thing. neuroscientists, right? They're studying everything these days, and it's fascinating. So say a neuro researcher would hook you up and put little electrodes on your brain and then ask you to have all kinds of positive thoughts. Go to your happy place, think of all the successes and beautiful shots and, you know, great things in your life, things that make you happy. And then they'll measure the vibrational frequency in the cells of your brain and your body. And they come up with a number. It's called Hertz frequency. So they'll get a number. Then they say, okay, forget all that, clear that out. Now think of negative things, you know, war, failure, misery, illness, hate, division, vengeance, you know, all these defeat, all these really negative things. And you'll get a different number comes up when they measure the frequency. And that number is lower than the positive thoughts. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's significantly lower. So the power is in that higher number and higher frequency. And we know that, you know, we're high, we're buzzing, oh, we're low, or, you know, all that sort of thing. So, you know, we want to be, and that's why positive thinking is so important, is because it actually has a higher measurable frequency and we feel more empowered. Confidence is on the higher spectrum. Confidence, serenity, love, tranquility, harmony, peace, unity, all these things, success, winning, those are all give us higher frequencies and we feel stronger. We have more energy to deliver, put it that way. And our energy isn't low and depressed. And then the same thing is true for the emotions. So like the Buddhists actually ranked emotions from higher emotions to what we call base emotions, the lower ones. And the base emotions would be kind of all of our reactive emotions, you know, sad, mad, fearful, all these kinds of things, or actually have a lower frequency than all those higher ones that I just mentioned. Those positive words were actually positive emotions. That's why when people meditate or pray or, you know, do affirmations and positivity, positive emotions, that brings up their energy. And then the same thing is true for physical. When we sleep better, when we eat nutritious foods, when you eat a salad from Whole Foods instead of from McDonald's, right? It looks like a piece of lettuce, but it's got a different measurable frequency. And so physically, we want to be able to be in higher measurable frequency. And it turns out that when, think about it, when we start doing poorly, let's say on the golf course, you just three or four putt, or you went in the woods, you're out of bounds, you got penalties, well, you went in the water, whatever it is, and things start kind of blowing up or going south, as we say, our energy goes south. It goes down. And so my Kiai golf psychology, I call rising to lower scores. He or she who knows how to bring themselves back up into more, you know, higher emotions, higher positive thinking, bring our physical energy back up, is going to see their scores go down rather than falling into what, pardon me a little bit, there's a little swear words I use, and I call it SDF mode, which means damn fuck mode, right? Where we start swearing and...
You almost started whispering that, didn't you? You were so embarrassed.
I did. I don't want to offend any of your listeners who may not...
It's all right. We'll take care of you.
Yeah. But, you know, there's three very common swear words that start with SDNF.
Yeah, right.
SDNF. And when we start saying them outwardly or just inside, we start to fall. Our frequencies go down. And guess what? Our scores go up and up. And so we need to have the ability to know that's happening and then shift out of that to more of this, I call it a masterful, centered, balanced, higher frequency zone. And when we can do that and we start to have positive, empowering thoughts and emotions, we find that we rise, we bring ourselves back up to those higher frequencies, and guess what? Our scores go down. In business, our creativity, our productivity, our profits go up. I mean, you know, we either fall in business and we see our results go down and everything rises and goes up. In golf, it's a nice phrase, easy to remember. How do I rise to lower scores instead of fall to higher scores? And that's what we call self-management, the mental game, all of this sort of thing. It's an interesting way and a deeper way, I think, but still a very practical way to come at how do we manage our mental emotional game on the golf course so that we get better results. And awesome. I don't think people necessarily see it that way or pay enough attention to that. But we can clearly see that, you know, those who win, those who succeed, and particularly under stress, which is something that kind of tends to undo us, that, you know, he or she who has that ability is the one who comes out on top. I mean, it could be the 2-minute drill in football, right? In a football game, we got to get downfield. We got to score, else we're going to lose. You know, we've got to keep it together on these last couple holes. Or, you know, Justin Rose the other day had to be able to get that last, on the 18th hole, the drive in the fairway, the ball in the green, 2-putt. You know, he was able to do that to, as we say, pull himself together to keep himself in that higher state and not just go, oh man, you know, it's all falling apart and I'm no good and Tiger's coming and that's it. I lost.
Wow. Wow. So good. So good. Thank you, Jamie. I am so excited that we're going to have this drawing. Unfortunately, you're not going to be part of this, but we're going to have this drawing in just a moment and we will pick somebody who will get an opportunity to spend more time one-on-one with you. And whoever you are, congratulations. You are very lucky to be able to have that time. But everybody's available to do that. Jamie, if somebody wants to take a lesson with you online, what's the best way to get in touch?
They can go to my website and send me an email, kiaigolf.com, kiaigolf.com. They can make it simple and just send me an email, Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at kiaigolf.com. And I am also, you know, my voicemail works and I tend to respond to it. So a call is always a good way to really reach me directly. 760-492-GOLF. 760-492-4653. Those are the most direct ways to get hold of me. And I'm pretty responsive. And I really love to talk to people. It's my biggest joy in life is to help people and give people maybe some new ways to look at things that, you know, some people think I'm a little bit out of the box, which I guess I am. You know, I show up with my sword, my golf club, and my black belt, even at a CEO business training. So you could say I'm a little out of the box, but, you know, it turns out that most people say, oh my God, I never saw it this way. And this makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so common sense that it's almost like you couldn't see your nose, right? And well, why didn't anybody ever tell me this is what I usually hear as feedback. And it just excites me no end. And to see people get excited, I see that their whole being responds to it. They just haven't been addressed and seen it at that level. And then the tools are really practical. My DVD series has all kinds of exercises to help people with this. And of course, in my lessons, I give them even more ways to practice it. And one of my biggest passions is to give people direct, effective, simple, doable ways that they can make a big difference. I don't think it should take, I always say, you know, 10 more years of therapy and 20 more years of golf lessons, and you're still like not feeling or doing any better. I want people to have pretty quick,
that's depressing,
quick and effective ways that make sense that they can do, and they're getting results. And it's got to happen pretty quick. I mean, it's not instant gratification. It still takes some practice and doing. But if the doing is fun, you see it works, it makes all the sense in the world to you, you're doing it. And then you're getting results. And that's what makes me happy. And having been around for, you know, a few decades at this point, I've gotten pretty good at being able to give that to people. And that's really just gives me more satisfaction than anything. And I love that process. And I love working with people, interacting with them, and seeing them get happy and get better.
Fabulous. Now, if you didn't catch all of Jamie's contact information, I will go ahead and put it in the show notes, and especially that phone number that you may or may not have caught. Okay. Jamie, thanks so much for not only your contribution to our prize list, but also to your contribution to our game.
Well, thank you, and I always appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for all you do with your number one exceptional and just so interesting and so wonderful golf podcast. And just being you, thank you so much for all you do and the opportunities you give all of us to share. Thank you.
So we just heard what to expect when you take an online lesson from an elite teacher like Jamie Zimron. And before we recap her contact information, it's time to announce this week's winner. and Jamie's newest student. Congratulations to Golf Smarter listener Dean Kemp of Columbia, South Carolina. Keep us posted, Dean. I'd love to hear how it goes. And thank you, Jamie, for your generosity. If you're also interested in getting in touch with Jamie about face-to-face or online lessons, go to kiigolf.com, kiigolf.com, or write to her, Jamie, at kiigolf.com. And she even gave a phone number here, and that's 760-492-GOLF, 760-492-4653. Now, next week's prize is from our guest back on episode 652 that was published in August of 2018, and it's another online lesson, this time from 2016 NC PGA Teacher of the Year, Patrick Parrish. And we still have new prizes coming up each week through the end of this year, 2018, including more online golf lessons from our stable of instructors and also that brand new See More putter. To enter for our random weekly drawings, go to golfsmarter.com/giveaway and sign up before Sunday midnight Pacific time or 3 a.m. Eastern time. Now remember, if you've already registered, you're eligible for every prize we're offering through the end of the year. And if you've already won, don't be discouraged, because you're not going to miss out. Your name has not been removed from the list. You are still eligible to win. Registration, rules, upcoming prizes, previous prizes, plus the winners are all at golfsmarter.com/giveaway. Now, Jamie brought up an interesting idea of a Golf Smarter Twitter challenge. So fill in this blank. A golf ball demands blank. Let's see what we can do with this each week. I think it's going to be fun. What does a golf ball demand from you? You'll find our questions and have the chance to post your own on Twitter using hashtag GolfSmarter. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please use at GolfSmarter on Twitter or on Instagram, contribute to our GolfSmarter Facebook page, or write to me directly by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.